Aeons before life had evolved into what would become the earliest ancestors of mankind, the Necrontyr ruled supreme across the vast expanse of the galaxy. Whilst atop their throne, they held almost complete dominion over the very laws of physics, all thanks to their near unmatched level of technological understanding and scientific prowess. Despite their lofty position, we must remember that with great power comes terrible conflict. The Necron Empire was forced to endure a constant siege. Though they were incomprehensibly powerful, thanks to their highly advanced technological position, they had still endured great losses following their wars with both the Catan and with the Old Ones. The war in heaven had proved to be rather exhausting to the Necrons, and upon seeing the rising threats of the emergent enslavers, as well as by understanding that the time of the Eldari was nigh, they devised a new strategy for their people. The Silent King Sarek decreed that for the time of the Necrons was to come to a temporary end. They would allow the galaxy to endure the rise and fall of the enslavers, leaving the heavens as a barren wasteland, from which new sentient life would emerge, but in a far more primitive state, which would be easier for the Necrons to dominate. Thus, the planetary domains of the Necrons were rebuilt and repurposed into mighty tomb worlds, which could hold the entirety of their species for true eons, until they were finally ready to re-emerge. These colossal complexes of Necron technology allowed the vast undying legions to enter into an extended form of stasis, where their frames and minds would be preserved until the most opportune time presented itself. The order from the Silent King was that the Necrons were to enter into this state of hibernation for approximately 60 million standard Terran years, after which they would awaken to reclaim the galaxy in the name of the ancient dynasties. After the final tomb world was sealed and the last Necron fell into stasis, the Silent King destroyed his own command protocols over the Necron species, forever locking himself out from ever utilizing his tools of domination again. He then left the galaxy in some form of self-imposed exile over how he failed his kin, and we must wonder whether or not he will ever find penance in that abyssal darkness of intergalactic space. In any case, with the Silent King's departure, his lasting legacy within the galaxy has been the creation of thousands of dormant traps, each waiting to be sprung upon an unsuspecting fool. It is almost impossible to detect whether or not a planet is a tomb world from conventional scanning techniques. So many a slumbering tomb world has been unknowingly colonized by the younger species of the galaxy. As a result of this, the ignorant inhabitants who so boldly claimed these worlds for themselves are unknowingly waiting for the Necrons to emerge, and rest assured, when they do reawaken, there will be a bloody toll to pay for having claimed a dynastic homeworld as their own. The actual re-emergence of the Necrons has only been a relatively recent phenomena during the 41st millennium. And few could have possibly been prepared for the waves of endless phalanxes which were soon to emerge from beneath their own feet. Perhaps only the enigmatic Eldari had any real knowledge regarding the existence of the tomb worlds, but given their own immense losses following the war in heaven, they likely followed a rather arrogant view that the Necrons would simply no longer remain as a threat given their sudden disappearance. Over the following millions of years, the tale of the Necrons likely fell from a fierce memory to but a mythical story of legend, and as such, I would posit a guess that the Eldari were just as surprised to see the currently reawakened Necrons as much as any other species within the galaxy. With a civilization which was so advanced that they could wrangle the powers of the very stars themselves, and being so large that it stretched across the entire galaxy, you can safely guess that not all tomb worlds were to be the same, and that some were constructed to serve a more specialized purpose than others. Every tomb world will contain some of the same technology. For example, they will all be equipped with vast power cells, memory banks, and stasis chambers. Whilst these life support systems are permanent fixtures to the Necrons, there were some planets which were organized to serve as treasure houses, to display the wealth of a flourishing dynasty. Whereas other worlds were built as something akin to a vast bunker, all to contain a weapon of such destructive force that it could cause the great suns themselves to blink out of existence. Now, as we explore a tomb world, we will find that no two are truly alike. They are built to be a gargantuan network of labyrinthine halls and tunnels, all of which seem to act as a network around the towering obelisks and sparkling energy pylons, which can be seen jutting out into the air from every angle. None but the lords themselves truly understand how vast the inner chambers of a tomb world truly are. Whilst we may be able to see some structures jutting out of the deepest caves, there are thousands more which are buried deeper within the planet, holding all manner of treasured artifacts, or simply the resting places for their own nobility. Immense catacomb-like chambers will be found embedded within the rock, with each one containing perhaps millions of slumbering Necrons who are simply waiting for the signal to emerge. The tomb worlds each have the capabilities to hold untold legions of warriors for an unprecedented amount of time, and their power sources will keep the support systems of a planet operational until the fabled hour of awakening is met, at which point the chamber doors will slide open and the undying Necrons will walk again. Another key aspect to mention is that depending on which dynasty controlled the planet before this transformation occurred, that the architectural styles will differ greatly between tomb worlds. Some will have been constructed as vast, magnanimous representations of a presiding lord's glory, whereby his own tomb will be situated in the highest position to overlook his groveling minions. Other planets, however, may have been organized with a sense of military purpose, with each sarcophagus complex being positioned in such a way that the undying legions can quickly and efficiently march forth to the planet's surface to begin their conquests in the shortest amount of time. Many a tomb world has been accidentally uncovered by a curious Mechanicus exploratory fleet during a routine search for technological artifacts. Similarly, some foolish rogue traders have stumbled upon a tomb during their search for fame, treasure, and glory. Whilst they never intended to act as a catalyst, once a tomb has been breached, then the cascade of reawakening will begin, and the galaxy will tremble before the sheer majesty of the Necrons once more. Whoever stumbled upon the tomb world will invariably be destroyed, for they have no hopes for defending themselves against the might of an activated Necron phalanx. For any observers, they will simply see the explorer team's signal go dark, and they will never be heard from again. Even whilst a tomb world is deep in its slumber, it will still be patrolled by Canoptech scarabs and deadly technological traps, which have been erected to ensnare and flay any fools who decided to go searching for glory beneath the sands of a tomb world. As I previously suggested, some tomb worlds will be erroneously colonized by the younger species of the galaxy, who will construct entire civilizations upon the planet's surface. It is not unheard of for an immense, star-scraping hive city to be constructed atop the entrance to a tomb world, whereby its inhabitants will have not the inkling of a thought that an ancient threat slumbers beneath them. The first class of worlds which I shall cover will be the Crown Worlds. In the bygone days of the Necron civilization, their peoples were organized into a distinct hierarchy of quasi-monarchic rule. Every Necron was a part of a dynasty, which itself was headed by its ruling kings of pharaohs, overlords, and lords. These individuals held an unmatched level of power within their dynastic holdings, being able to direct every single subservient Necron to enact whatever whims they desired. As such, for the head which wears a crown, they deserved nothing short of a crown world. These tombs were previously the location where the centralized power of a Necron dynasty was located. In the heyday of the Necrons, these planets were galactic hubs which would receive the greatest bounty of resources and tithes of honor from their ruling dynastic territories. They were equipped with the most advanced technology available to the Necrons, and so their stasis crypts were of an unmatched quality, resulting in them being far more reliable than the chambers found upon lesser worlds. As such, those who descended into their eons of long slumber upon the Crown Worlds were sure to emerge in the finest of conditions, with their necrodermis shells shining just as brightly as they did in the days of the old Necron Empire. These worlds were also to be where the dynastic heads would have entered into their slumber. The mightiest of pharaohs who could command entire dynasties are still to be found in a state of deep hibernation within their chambers. Though some have already awoken to bring about their terrible armies throughout the galaxy, we must ask ourselves how many more dynasties are out there waiting to emerge. Held in status below that of the Crown Worlds would be the Core Worlds. These planets made up the bulk of the territorial holdings of the Necron Empire, and it is here that the true beating heart of their celestial civilization was to be found. Their purpose would have been specialized to meet whatever needs the dynasty decreed. Some would have been focused entirely on mining specific resources. Others would have been scientific centers for producing and researching esoteric technologies, whilst others were military hubs for the armies of the Necron Empire. No matter their purpose, every one of these planets would constantly feed their production output back to the Crown Worlds, all to bring glory to their ruling dynasty. Each world was led by a lord or an overlord who was held in high regard within the dynasty. To rule over an entire planet was considered to be a great honor to the Necrons, so only those who the pharaohs truly respected would have been bestowed with this lofty responsibility. The dauntless task of directing an entire planet is one which was not granted lightly, and to be named as the trusted leader of a core world would have solidified the loyalty of that lord to his dynasty. These close bonds between Lord and Pharaoh provided the Necron dynasties with a great sense of stability. There was rarely a fear of a world revolting and breaking away from a dynasty, solely thanks to the fact that the ties which held each world to the dynastic crown had been carefully chosen in order to best strengthen their loyalty to the overarching empire. Now make no mistake, these worlds were still mighty in their own right. Whilst they were not as grand or majestic as a crown world, each tomb constructed from a core world still holds a legion of Necrons numbering in the millions. Any of these crypt complexes which reactivates will still have the means to easily overthrow whatever upstart races had settled upon its surface, and they would surely pose a threat to even the surrounding star systems. Last amongst the hierarchy of planets would be the fringe worlds. The lack of importance given to these planets varies in reason. perhaps the Necrons did not see much value in the territories surrounding these worlds, and so did not choose to bring them up to the standards of a core world. Perhaps it had only recently been colonized before the Great Slumber began, and they did not have time to fully develop it. We really can't say for sure as to why these worlds seem to be underdeveloped, and can merely speculate on the reasons. Based on the architecture of these worlds, some have guessed that a selected number of fringe worlds acted as penal colonies for the Necrons, or were home to indentured servants who would toil away on tasks of manual labor for their crimes. Others have speculated that some unearthed fringe worlds were the location of isolated research bases for the Necrons, and that in fully developing the planet in a manner similar to a core world, that their research may have been disrupted, so they were intentionally left rather barren. The stasis chambers found on these worlds are often of the poorest quality, and the emerging Necrons will frequently appear damaged or corroded from the millions of years of slumber. As advanced as the Necrons were at their zenith, they still could not uplift every world to the level of a crown world, and so any Necrons who entered their long rest on a fringe world will have unfortunately and inevitably felt the long gaze of Father Time. The Necrons are a threat which all life in the galaxy must face, from the ancient and enigmatic Eldari within their craft worlds, to the stagnant and decaying lion that is the Imperium of Man, to the upstart and fledgling Tau finding their feet, to the rampant green tide of the Orcs, to the ever-present madness that is the realm of chaos, to the great devouring, ever-consuming Tyranids. All now dread the awakening of a Necron tomb world, and you should pray that beneath the crust and mantle of your own planet, that an undying legion of the mighty Necron Empire does not awaken from their slumber, for if they do, then they will surely spell your end.